we began to look at things that we need to do to prosper in the kingdom of God. And we said that the first thing is to know and understand the promises of God. That is the will of God for us to prosper. It is the will of God for us to prosper and be in health. Hallelujah. In 100% of the times that any Christian is ill or afflicted, it has been, or it was, and still is, God's will that they be healed. Somebody does not have to be sick to die. But because we have been taught negatively, there is the tendency to believe status quo and say that this is how it's always been, that is how it's going to always be. And that is not true. If we believe differently, we will see differently. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, hallelujah, Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Verse 13, Romans chapter 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This word saved here, is the Greek is sozo, and it means to be saved, to be delivered from, and to be preserved. Hallelujah. It means to be kept from demonic oppression and possession. Praise the Lord. It also includes in it health or good life, praise God. It includes in it prosperity or restoration of, and restoration of health, to be kept from eternal death or judgment or punishment or misery and stuff like that. Every evil thing, hallelujah, you be kept safe, amen. It says, how then shall they call on him for the purpose of salvation in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Of what? Good things. Amen. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who had believed our report? So to obey the gospel is to believe the gospel, to believe the word of God. Amen. If you do not believe the word of God, this Isaiah 53 verse 1, it says, who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So you don't see God's manifestation except you believe God's report, which is God's word. Hallelujah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? This was what, which was where the Apostle Paul was quoting from. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to believe, you have to expose yourself to the word of God. You have to hear it. You have to believe it for it to work for you. And it's a personal thing. It, you know, it's not just, you know, yeah, we are collectively in the house of God. We help one another in the house of God through our prayers for one another, our gathering together, that our faith rubs off on each other. Amen. The knowledge of God is, you know, brought to everyone through brethren, through preaching, through our fellowship one with another. Amen. Now, but we have to believe. We have to bring ourselves to the point of believing God's word. If we do not believe God's word, it will not work for us. It may work for some other person, but it will not work for you as a person except you personally believe it. The word, if the word is not working, is because you're not believing. You and I are not believing. And believing is not difficult. It's just to accept that what God said is so. If you have been so trained in your thinking that what you have accepted is what is in the biology books, in the philosophy books of the world, or you're being told by anybody else, your friends, professors in university and all of that, in college and all of that, then that is what you will believe. If you choose to believe that, the word will not work for you. Hallelujah. The word works for those who believe. Say, I believe. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So because I'm a believer, the arm of the Lord will be revealed to me. Glory be to God. Now, when it comes to prosperity and divine health, you find that, especially prosperity, that a lot of people have issues with it. When a Christian prospers, then the person is not godly. They have to suffer and do all of that. And they like to quote Apostle Paul for us. And we have said in this house, there are too many scriptures, even from the mouth of Apostle Paul, to show that God wants every believer to prosper. Every believer. When he said, with clothing, with raiment and food, that you should be content with that. Contentment in the kingdom of God does not just mean it does not just mean you having only little and that's it. What he's talking about is that don't be anxious in the place where you are with God right now. Hallelujah. Don't get, drawn away by your desire for the things of this world to the point of disobeying God or walking outside of the covenant. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean don't desire better, because God promises better. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show that from the scriptures. So the first thing we said was to know the word of God. Amen. And we're going to look at a few scriptures here that tell us very clearly that it cannot have been the will of God for us not to prosper. Psalm 112, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man. All right, let's start from the New Testament. We said, read the whole of the New Testament first. Then you read the old in the context of the what? New, all right? Okay. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, let's have the New King James. This was the Apostle John, full of the Holy Ghost, whom Jesus handed over his mom to. He says, beloved, I pray that he may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So God wants us to prosper. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, for ye know, he had taught the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul, he says, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's contained in the covenant. Jesus did something. Anything you find being by grace is free. It's God's empowerment, it's God's favor, it's God's good pleasure to give us that. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. This was the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I, that ye through his poverty, through the fact that Jesus lived a poor man's life, might be rich. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. I'm going to point out something here. Hallelujah. It will look like it is a contradiction, but there isn't. This word rich here is the same Greek word that was translated rich in the place where in, all right, let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 53. He had filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he had sent empty away. Praise the Lord. Now, the word rich here is the same Greek word as rich in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now let us go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. How is it that what God made will drown us and bring us into temptation, snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts? It is not true. It is a misunderstanding. Hallelujah. Now, let us see what he's trying to talk about. He's talking about the love of money. He's talking about when you desire, you love money so much, you covet after it. That's all you want. To the degree that you abandon your conscience, then something is wrong. That's where the snares start coming from. That's what the Bible says, that we should not have love for filthy money, because that is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that prosperity is the root of all evil. Jesus paid a price for us to have money, for us to be rich. That has to be clear in our minds. If it's not clear in our minds, we will not meet the conditions of the covenant. The reason why we're studying God's word is to know what belongs to us and to know the instructions of righteousness. Hallelujah. Which, if we don't know, the devil will rob us. The Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So God wants us rich. There's nothing in the word that says God does not want us rich. We heard from the Apostle John. He said, I pray. If you look at the New King James, he says, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. It is not right for you to be a believer and not be prosperous. It means you're living below the covenant, not in line with the covenant. It is not right for the child of God to be homeless. I want you to understand this. Now, there are steps to this thing. Don't just hear this message, just this part of it, and then you run. Yeah, even if you run with this, you will still make progress. Now, there are covenant details, but this part of it must not leave your consciousness. It must not leave your mouth. It must, everything that happens, regardless of what you see, declare, God wants me to prosper. God wants me in good health. You know, the Bible says, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus took that whipping from the Roman soldiers to pay for our sickness and disease. So it is not right. The same way it's not right for sickness to dwell in our bodies, because Jesus paid a price. If you are a soldier and you were sent overseas, you have bonuses that you're paid for being over there. For example, when they pay you the bonus, are they doing you a favor? No. It's your right. Jesus, when you get healed, God is not trying to do you a favor. He's carrying out a covenant detail. Jesus did us a great favor, which is God also doing us a favor from the other side of it. But this is what I'm looking at right now. We're looking at somebody paid for me to be well. The time has gone for me not for it now to be, oh, if God feels happy, then he will heal me. No, whether God is feeling happy or not has nothing to do with it. Now, before we go to the Old Testament, we're going to see the relationship between the old and the new. Because if we don't look at that, I keep repeating myself, it's important. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now let's have it in the New King James. It says, for all the promises of God in him. Now you notice that the him here has a capital H at the beginning of it. That says that it is talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. In him, I yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God. That means if I catch a promise under the Old Testament or in the Old Testament, it belongs to me because of Jesus. So let's drive to Psalm 112, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man, it said, that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. All right. I want you to underline that word commandments. Praise the Lord. Now, but let's begin to go to the promise. Amen. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be what? Blessed. Hallelujah. He doesn't fool around with it. It means that your children cannot be vagabonds upon the earth. They cannot be useless upon the earth. The seed shall be mighty upon the earth. That settles it. So when the devil is trying to mess with your kids, say, no. This one will be mighty upon the earth. Yeah. Amen. We have to know the promises of God. Then verse 3. Scripture of all time. I stood on it. And things started happening. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Poverty cannot be in your house. Kick poverty out of your house. Just when you get home, just open the front door. Say, poverty, get out. In the name of Jesus. Wealth and riches, I declare, you're welcome in my home in the name of Jesus. But if you're going around criticizing people, you're saying all these men of God, these prosperity preachers is of the devil. The devil has your mind cooked. The Bible says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. If you don't know it, you'll be in bondage. A poor man's wisdom is not heard. The Bible says so. A poor man's wisdom is not heard. You just be talking. You say, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Even if what you're saying will save a life, they'll not listen to you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, he said, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Do your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If you're not willing to prosper, you will not prosper. You can tithe from here to Wazoo, you will not prosper. You just pick gifts. Tighten, and be grumbling and be angry with everybody and all of that. The reason you're not prospering is that you feel in your heart that those who prosper are going to hell. There is no righteousness in it. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. Everybody else. This was when they were looking for the disciples of Jesus to arrest. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, the body of Jesus. As big as Peter was, he was on the run. So he took a rich man to grab his body. Pilate handed over the body to him. And the only thing he did, he said, we're going to put soldiers there. And he said, it doesn't matter. He put him in his own grave, where that he wanted to be buried in his own cave. He put Jesus there. So they could hear him. So he wants every one of us doing well, prospering, prosperous, rich, having a full supply, having more than enough. Glory be to God. That is his will.
Where the will of God is not known, you cannot have faith. Faith is not, oh God, if it's your will, let it be done. If it's not your, if it's not your will, then let your will be done, you know, and all of that. No, there is a time for that kind of prayer. But when it comes to faith, clear promises of God, you can't do it except you're certain what the will of God is concerning that matter. You cannot contend for a faith you do not know what it is. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude, let's go to Jude, hallelujah. In verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," that means our universal or our joint salvation, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." It has been delivered to us. We own it now. We fight for it. The Apostle Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." We're fighting, contending for what belongs to us. You know, you find that sometimes the African saint, when they're praying, you know, they come into a place, they pray some kind of prayers, violent prayers, you know, taking hold of the things that have been delivered. They say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, make room for us here, in the name of Jesus." That's your praying authoritative prayer.